Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Do it. Do it. I want you to see me even better than before. It's the right thing to do.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Or some kind of meds.
Mr. Scott Whitney. It's always fun to start the show and you say, okay, go, TriCaster, go. And then the mouse says, I kind of like that part of the screen. I think I'll just hang out for a while. Just kind of hang out. No, but I prefer you to start the video that opens up. No, I'm just going to hang out right here. Makes Scotty a little nervous. Makes me want to take Xanax. Okay, the Xanax line worked. We'll work now. Thank you. Anyways, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast. I'm your medicated host, Scott Whitney. Glad to be here. We're proud to be here. And I'm joined by who? You know, it's hard to really describe her. Oh, sure. Naughty, jelly, sweet, of course. You look at her, you can go, clearly she's naughty. And she's pretty sweet. ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together, or as they say, big hand, Melissa Whitney. There she is with her sparkle opening. There it is. She loves the sparkles. Don't you, honey?
I do.
Yeah, and this is an audio show. So
I like being bedazzled.
It's an audio show, so feel free to talk if you'd like to. Shut it up. Talky-talky.
I am, you know.
Moving pictures.
You know what's funny about you?
Nothing.
Sometimes
right now.
You want me to talk, and other times I talk to you, and you don't even acknowledge that I've said anything, and then you move on.
Yeah.
And I have gotten feedback that annoys people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to get more feedback about the things that I do.
I'm just trying to say that on our little podcast here, that if I'm talking to you, don't just rush on along. You should acknowledge.
You picked the wrong day to tell me that I'm not doing something right.
I'm not afraid.
Wrong day.
I'm not afraid.
Wrong day, princess.
Any
oh, yeah. Before the show starts,
day.
She's like, oh, a little direct in here. Oh, and then she's like, you know, I said, I was actually being very sweet. I'm like, I really missed you while you're gone. Well, I missed you. But you didn't tell me you missed me while I was gone. I thought I did.
I didn't say it like that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. But you didn't tell. Oh, we probably did like this. But you didn't tell me
that
you was gone.
No, that's not how
like,
that
oh, come on.
That's
it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Anyways, living in Las Vegas stuff, a little housekeeping. It's livinginlv.com. I'm just trying to get through this so I don't get shot. Livinginlv.com. Again, that's livinginlv.com. That's our website. And, of course, vegasvideonetwork.com is for the whole network, of which we are a part. Proudly so, I might add. If you are an email person, we've got a pretty funny one coming up here later in the afternoon. You simply go like this. And you go to OnAirQ. At livinginlv.com. Again, that's on
Where
our queue.
It?
At what?
Usually print out the email thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I've been so busy that I have two printers in this studio room. You know, I feel like I'm a little dark there.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. That's a little bit better. My
lighting is excellent.
It's beautiful.
Today.
Yeah, you're beautiful. I have two printers in our studio.
Orange. I look orange compared to you.
That's because you're tanner. You have different lighting. Anyways, I've got two printers in my studio here, and neither one of them have ink. Now, one of them hasn't had ink for about 6 months. I've been that busy. The color one here hasn't had ink, one ink. You know, it's got four things, but one of them's empty. And because that one's empty, it won't print. So I've had, I'm like, oh, time to print. And he goes to print, and I get the error, won't print. So I have to, you know, it's in the queue, and it's like, waiting, waiting.
Didn't you want to get a new printer fax scanner
combo?
Yes, I did,
but I didn't because I'm a...
Okay, we're going to do that this weekend.
And what we're going to do is buy some freaking ink cartridges. How hard can it be?
Oh, well, yeah, but you need a printer scanner fax.
I need so many things. So on our queue, livinginlb.com is a website. If you are the kind of person who likes to hear their dulcet voice, we got the funniest voicemail yesterday for Pub Crawl. It was a Canadian girl, a woman, who I think still might have been a little tipsy when she called in, and she had the funniest laugh.
Oh, really?
It was so funny. Yeah, you got to check that out. Anyways, if you want to do that, 866-966-4599. It's toll free. And it's a call-in line where you leave a voicemail and then we play it afterwards. You know, we had somebody call in and go, I called the number and nobody picked up. I wanted to be on the show. That's not what
they
we mean by
that. They want to talk live.
That's not what we meant by that. We just want you to leave a message. That's kind of what we're talking about. Of course, we're also on this new...
That'd be kind of cool if people could call us live.
It would be great. We should do that. And we have done that. As a matter of fact, we did it Tuesday. We did an impromptu, unplugged version of Living in Las Vegas. We had a bunch of people in the chat. I went and said, hey, I'm not really doing this. And they said, no, you must do it. We demand it. We demand the power. And I said, okay. So we got on. We had quite a few people on their little
Whitney, you know, fix.
Right. And we had Jackie call in. And she was...
Is she online?
I don't think she is. She said she's got class today.
Oh, really?
And she had...
Big thanks to Jackie, though.
Well, we'll be thanking her in a moment.
Oh, okay.
And so she came by. And we talked a little bit about, you know, the gambling world and the comp world and just, you know, the party a little bit. It was really, really cool. And Shannon here was saying on the live chat that she was awesome, which she was, and full of high roller info,
she's got the down low on that, huh? She's got the scoop.
Yeah. It's really pretty fascinating especially for those of us who don't really, you know...
Did it make you want to go out and join some?
Not really.
Clubs?
Nah, not really. You know, I'm a little clubs? Afraid of the. Well, maybe a little bit. What are you gonna do? Kind of. What did I want to tell you? Stand by. I had to move. I'm moving all kinds of crap around here. Oh, for the love of God, get the right screen up, Scott. You goofball.
The joy of live streaming.
Oh, for the love of... There it is. I mean, it's not the... It's the one that says script.
That's the thing about doing this towards the end of the week.
Right. It's bad. So anyways, here's our Facebook page. Please go there. It's facebook.com. Part of what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. You were trying to help me, weren't you?
Yep.
All right. Sorry. All right, yes, I'm back in. I'm back engaged. Okay, I see what you're talking about. Anything else you wanted to say there?
Just trying to be helpful.
Thank you. Big thanks to LASIK in Nevada. 40,000 procedures. What? 40,000? That's the most anybody has ever had. That's 80,000 eyeballs. We've had this discussion before. 40,000 procedures.
Is that the most of anybody or anybody in town?
In Las Vegas. Oh no, I'm actually in Nevada. The most experienced LASIK surgeon living in Nevada today. So go check them out. You know, one of the joys of hanging out in the Vegas Video Network studio, many of you, especially in the live chat, have had this experience. You know, it's pretty cool what people bring in. For example, for today's show at the top of the food chain, we wanted to dive into the intricacies of beer.
Well, we like beer.
We like beer. Now, you may say, well, Scott, are they going to bring in, you know, like a Coors and maybe a Sierra Nevada and a craft beer, PBR, whatever, and maybe
hey,
a Heineken.
Hey, don't make fun of PBR. It's popular
easy,
now.
Easy. And here are the different beers. Oh, no. We brought a brewmaster. His name is Bubba. Seriously, that's how he goes by, Bubba.
Really?
From the Barley's Casino and Brewing Company in Henderson, Nevada. And he brought these things. Yeah.
That's like what we used to make, you know, moonshine.
But not one.
Half,
two.
We have a gallon.
But not two. He actually brought four of these. And I took home two and Jacob took home two. We have the Red Rock and we have the Honey.
What ones did Jacob get, do you know?
He got a really dark one. We Rochambeau'd over the dark one because neither one of us wanted it.
Well, that's you and I are not.
We don't drink beer drinkers.
Yeah, we're not like, Guinness. Yeah,
and it's a Guinness light thing. You pour it and it does that real big foamy head.
What do they call it? Stout?
Yeah, I think so. So we know we both rock, paper, scissored. He rocked, I papered. I got that. So it was pretty funny.
What was the other one?
I forget.
Was there an ale?
Oh, Hefeweizen.
Oh, well, he got a good one.
So. Yeah, because I knew that you liked it. That's why I wanted to get you the honey. I thought you liked the honey. So we're classing up the joint today.
Well, I might. I might like the honey.
We've got, you know, oh, there it is. We got a gallon of beer. And as you'll see in the upcoming email, what I'm doing right now is apparently very important.
What do you mean?
You'll see later when we get to the email. Here, look at this. Fancy glass. How do you pour?
Oh, God.
Are you seeing this?
It's making me nervous.
Nice. Oh, listen to that. It's like a commercial.
How much are you going to pour? Are we going to taste that one, too?
Just that. Here you go.
Are we tasting the other one as well?
Oh, we'll see.
Maybe we should share this then if you're going to open that.
Yeah. Daddy needs a drink. Daddy, we're working hard today. Daddy needs a drink. All right, cheers.
Cheers.
What do you think?
Its bouquet is...
It is kind of honey-ish, don't you think?
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of honey itself.
I can smell Stanley Steamer, says Bob Scott. I'm not sure what that means. I think he thinks I'm going to be spilling this all over my... Do you like it?
I do like it, actually. It's very good. Mm-hmm. It could be colder.
Mm. Well, these lights are pretty hot.
Was it refrigerated when he brought him in?
Yeah. He brought in this huge cooler. I'm like, oh, well, welcome to the show. Anyways, today's weather, actually this week's weather has been awesome.
If you like thunder.
You know what's so surprising is how many people really like that kind of, you know, except for Coda. You know,
Coda,
the thunder and the wind, and it was thundery. And a couple nights ago, 3:30 in the morning, it was just, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I feel a 50-pound dog stepping on my face.
Well, Coda gets so scared. She gets really so scared.
Coda's freaked out. And it's, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning, and it is rocking. I mean.
Was it really windy?
It wasn't too windy until it got right on top of us. And then it got pretty windy, sideways rain. And it was so weird because the rain, you know, in our backyard, on the right side, the rain was going this direction. And on the left side, it was going this direction.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
No, it's like, you know, I took a video of it. I was going to put it on, but it was just too dark. But I'm like, what? Look at this. I think I'm in the center of the universe right now. And lightning and pine cone is like, stop it, Daddy. Stop it.
Give me a tranquilizer.
Stop the lightning, Daddy.
Doggy tranquilizer.
Right. Well, I'm like, saying. Oh, I hope I get a lightning bolt, you know, because we've had, you know, some bolts come pretty close to the house before where it's like, you know, direct hit, you know the whole story. A lightning bolt hits, you count the seconds, that's how many miles it's away or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, if you see it hit and it's thunder right then and there, it's basically on top of you or pretty close to it. And there's a lot of news stories the next day about, you know, lightning strikes on houses and houses were catching on fire and palm trees were catching on fire.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was, I think they said they had 400 strikes in an hour here in Vegas.
I was out of town on travel, so I'm so bummed because it doesn't rain here very often. But I guess this is kind of the tail end of our monsoon season.
Right.
And you had, what, 2 days of really good storms.
Right, but one
and
day.
I missed them both.
Oh, man. And I'm Melissa, really you really like them.
I love it.
Kind of makes you a little.
Well, I just like it's. Come on, a little bit. It's so different.
I just know that, you know, when the lightning comes, you're like, hey, I'm feeling kind of excited about that. I said, okay. Finally, let's get us a little electricity
out. That is not what we're running around trying to find the drugs to knock Coda out. Dealing with her because when she's scared, she just wants to sit on our head.
So Maya has corrected me. Thank you, Maya. Sometimes I just want to poke her in the eye. It's not true. I want to poke her in the eyeball, both of them. She says that when you see lightning, 3 seconds later you hear lightning or you hear thunder, that's a mile away. Oh, I'm going to correct you. You don't hear lightning, Malia. You hear thunder. Thank you. So 3 seconds, it's a mile away. 1 mile for every 3 seconds. Okay. So that's the story. That's what we're going to go with from now on. Anyway, so huge weather. And I called Melissa. She's like, oh, man, that sucks.
I know. I was really bummed.
It was great. And it was, what I have to say that was impressive is, you know, Vegas as a practice, Maya, I'll take you on. Great. Now I'm being threatened by the freaking live chat. So what's, it happened to her a lot in Vegas. Because, you know, Vegas is a bowl, a big giant bowl. And in the middle of the bowl, when it rains, it floods. And I saw Facebook people say it'd be nice if the civil engineering people could figure out how we could go from the west side of the city to the middle of the city, because we can't do it because everything's all flooded out. So we live in a slightly elevated area. And when we moved here, you know, one of the things I was interested in was a floodplain, and are we going to be in trouble if it rains?
Yeah, because we had heard they had all that flooding trouble, you know.
Right, about a couple years before we moved.
Yeah, 10 years ago or so. Fire trucks were floating in the water. Remember
all
those pictures?
Exactly. Anybody who knows about Imperial Palace, every year, basically, the Imperial Palace parking lot floods.
Yeah, you don't want to park on the lower levels of the Imperial garage.
Out. Of there, and they don't charge you if you get out of the parking garage, and if you float out, they don't charge you, which I think is very nice of them. Anyway,
you just made that up.
I did. So we're like, okay, well, hopefully it doesn't flood. So backyard, can't really tell because it's a backyard. So I went out in the front yard and I was taking some video, and our street was an entire river, complete thing.
Did you kind of want to stand it in a little?
Not when there are lightning bolts coming down at about every 15 seconds. I'm like, I sure want to stand out there or not. So it was a wide street of river, completely water, fast rushing river, just coming down the street. I'm like, wow, I've never seen this here before. It's really raining here. And then I thought, wow. I wonder if this is one of those things where it floods and goes into our house and people die. So like, meanwhile, in the video, you could hear Coda going.
She was so
now
scared.
Coda's like, you know, 5 feet away from me, 10 feet away from me, and she's like, I can't.
Yeah, well, you forgot where the doggy, tranquilizers were.
But what was great, what was super impressive about the urban planning here was that when the rain, the storm went past us and it stopped raining, 10 minutes later, the street was completely without water. It was wet.
That's because it all ran downstream and those poor people down in the middle of the valley are flooded.
Good.
Well, we did say when we moved here that it was an advantage to sort of being on the kind of upper sloped area.
Mm-hmm. So to the people of our neighborhood, we say, well done.
You know what's interesting?
It's been thundery the whole, kind of cloudy, by the way. I'm sorry, I just interrupted you again. I just want to say it was cloudy and thundery.
I was just going to say, it's been interesting because I've noticed that a few businesses that they have buckets out.
Buckets out where?
Their roofs are leaking. So I thought that was interesting.
Happened to my mom. Yeah. And she gave us a torrent of how much she hates the house now because I hate my house. I don't hate the house.
Well, if you don't get rain very often, you don't notice these things.
Yeah. And it was kind of cloudy and crappy today. But I will tell you this, for a lot of people really do like it. And it is kind of interesting.
Your mother, when I was talking to her today, she was in heaven.
Really? Well, you're in heaven.
I think she called it glorious.
Glorious. Well, it's not. It's kind of fun. But that's the weather. The pool, 77 degrees.
We probably won't see the rain again until February.
Pool's dead to me now.
What is the pool?
Like 77. This is dropping.
What do you mean? If it's nice this weekend, you wouldn't heat it up and go swimming?
No, I would. Yeah, I would. Okay, it's not dead to me. What's going on? Hey, some interesting news. For one of the things that when we first moved here that we really liked, and by the way, we're gonna recount the big meetup here shortly. And I'll just say this, love is in the air. Oh, that's right. We're bringing people together at the big meetups.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that you know that for sure.
Oh, I feel pretty good. Well, one of the participants is on the live chat. We'll see if he wants to help clarify that which was there. I just know some things. I just know. Okay. I don't really know anything.
You're nosy.
And the truth is I'll make stuff up because it makes for good radio. And good podcasting, and good webcasting, and live streaming, too. Okay, so Zappos bought First Friday. When we first moved here, one of the things that we really liked, we were really excited about this, and you can go back 4 years ago in a podcast, and you'll hear us talking about First Friday. First Friday was a thing that happens the first Friday of every month, where which is clever, by the way. One thing you'll say about Vegas people, we're clever.
We sure are.
This is a big one, the First Friday. What do you want to call it? I don't know, First Friday? Excellent. You are general manager. And so it's First Friday, and what it is it's kind of the hippie art district in downtown. Everybody opens up their doors, and people walk around and look at all the art, and you'll see some street musicians and crazy people and stuff, and it's kind of interesting. And so we probably went 3 times the first year we were here.
Yeah, we went a lot.
Yeah, we were really into it because it kind of reminded us a little bit of like the Art and Wine Festival-y kind of thing that we are big fans of.
A little bit.
And this is a point I'll be making in a minute.
Did you mention Art Factory and all that?
Yeah, so I didn't. But yeah, so Art Factory is probably one of the major art
things there. They have some in-house gallery things and right. outside
right.
gallery.
Right, the Art Factory is in the corner of Charleston and Maine. It probably has, 20 art galleries inside it. And there's a couple of those types of buildings. And there's other art galleries. It's a very good idea. And in the past, a lot of people have bitched and moaned about parking problems. You park somewhere, you think it's okay. The next thing you know, your car is towed, and you're paying $400 to get your car back, which is not a feature. So all those things were going on. And as time went on, it became a little bit more, I'll call it underground. I'm not sure that's an accurate assessment. But it was, it's a little fringy, a little underground.
A little more dark.
Yeah, and it just wasn't. The first time we were like, "Hey, this is pretty clever." Second time we're like, "Okay." Third time we're like, "All right, I get it." It's a bunch of guys, in jet black hair with eyeliner, wearing skinny pants, with skulls and crossbones, running around. Okay,
go ahead. I have an opinion, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So. So we didn't go for a while, and I think in the 5 years we've been here, we've probably gone another 4 or 5 times. Once a year, we usually maybe go down there, or once a year or so we go down there. About a month or so ago, they shut it down.
Shut it down, or were they?
The company
scaling back.
Yeah,
there was a word for it.
Yeah,
right?
The nonprofit. Well, they're
hiatus.
The nonprofit that was running it, a company I believe they're called Whirligig. Which is basically I think it's a two-person operation, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. Small nonprofit, Whirligig, canceled it, said they weren't going to run it in August and September.
Which is our hottest months.
Yeah.
And maybe that has
And that was part of their story. Mm-hmm. But the truth was they were getting a lot of crap for the towing and the parking problems, and it was getting a little rough, and it just wasn't as helpful. And they were making – their nonprofit – but because you're nonprofit doesn't mean you're not making money. It just means you're not, claiming profits. But you still have to make money to keep the nonprofit running.
Right, cover your expenses.
There's a difference there, and so they couldn't do it. Maya's got a question about when it starts. I think it starts at about 6:00, and she asks, "Is it worth going before it gets dark?" Yeah, sure. Yeah,
definitely.
So I saw that. Now that the next month after they canceled it. They still had it. Basically all the vendors just got together and said, screw those guys. We're just going to do it again. But it, I don't think it had the reach that
kind of unofficially.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was kind of up in the air. Well, Zappos has decided, and it's not exactly Zappos, but...
And they're headquartered here in Vegas, for
right.
those of you who don't know.
And they used to be in Henderson, and they're moving to downtown. So mm-hmm. they're making a huge push into the validation of what downtowns are going to be.
They're investing in their community.
Yeah, they're putting a ton of money in there, both because of their they're moving a lot of they're moving their headquarters there.
Well,
hiring.
The CEO has been also spending money on other things there, like emergency arts building.
Yep, and
that coffee shop down there that he loves.
Yeah, and many of the execs live in like Ogden Building and.
Well,
so
they were
on
giving
so
them incentives to
right.
to buy in that area or rent in that area. So
right, right.
So, well, you know what I like about that? They're putting their money. Where their mouth is.
Right.
They really.
Well, I'm sure
mean
they're getting
it.
A lot of, I'm sure they're not doing it completely altruistically. I'm sure they're getting some tax.
No,
benefits,
but I mean, how
fine.
Many other companies do you know have taken on that kind of thing? They're
None
trying.
To that level.
They're trying to, keep, some kind of art and culture
right.
and
right. It's great.
Which is cool. Yeah.
So four of them, one of which, four of the executives, one of which is Tony Shusha. Anyways, the guy who runs it and three other executives have gotten together, created First Friday LLC, and they have bought the First Friday rights.
That's cool.
So what's going to happen is it's no longer Whirly Gig. They got paid, and they were paid for some stuff and the First Friday trademark, and now it's going to be run by First Friday LLC, which is associated with the Zappos people. So it was interesting. My first response to that was, outstanding. That's great. Because one of the things they talked about was bringing in more artists from around the city, not just in the First Friday area, but also bringing in artists from around the states around us, bringing in people from all over the place, Arizona, California,
like
New Mexico.
Like art and wine festivals. Yeah. That's exactly what they do.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. When we were in California, you know, we lived in the Bay Area, and so Palo Alto, Mountain View, Los Gatos, Los Altos, Fremont, Sunnyvale, all these guys had these art and wine festivals.
All these cities. The Bay Area.
Right. And we loved them. I mean, it was fun. You're outdoors.
And they were big.
Huge.
A lot of art.
Palo Alto.
Food, wine, and really high quality art.
Yeah.
Not just art, but it could be crafts as well. But
yeah. I mean, and it does. It's up and down. There's some crap, but there's a lot of very, very good stuff there.
But it wasn't just dark, you know. It was.
Oh no! It was just the opposite of that primarily.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. The one thing that we've talked about before on the show about First Friday when it was running was that you had the hip people, like I said, in the skinny jeans and the skull covered t-shirts. But we're thinking nobody from Summerlin or Anthem or Southern Highlands or wherever, Centennial, or, you know, we don't think those people are going there. Now, of course, there were some, but it didn't cater to people who, A, had money and wanted a different type of art. There's a lot of that pretty dark, scary.
But I think it was stuff that some of it, not all of it, maybe would attract a younger generation, right? And you don't always have disposable income when you're younger to purchase it. So then, therefore, you don't always have the revenue.
That's right.
There has to be a return on investment, even if you're a nonprofit.
That's right. That's right.
To do it.
That's right. Absolutely right. And so and we said this before, you know, the problem is they're never going to get a ton of people showing up to this thing if all they do is this dark kind of gothic kind of a vibe. And the same kind of the music, you know, it's drum circles and there wasn't like musicians at the art and wine festivals in California. You'd have guys in booths who were selling their music. As a matter of fact, I licensed a lot of that music for another company that I have called Timberworks. And these people have sold, these are musicians who have sold 500,000 CDs, which is unheard of. You know, most musicians are thrilled if they sell 100.
But they would have also, not just in their booths, but they would have live entertainment too.
Right there. But
not just like, you know, all kinds of music.
Yeah.
They might have a Zydeco band.
Right.
And then
a sax
maybe
guy, a harp guy.
And then maybe some younger people playing, you know, some punk on another stage with, you know, it was a very eclectic.
Right. It was great. And so my first thought was, hey, okay, my guess is Zappos is going to try to class the place up again, clean it up a little bit, bring in a higher quality of artist. And again, I'm not being derogatory.
Or maybe
the
a better mix, maybe is the right word.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough. A better mix of folks. So it appeals to a wider group of people.
Yep.
Because the vast majority of the people there, I think, were, you know, fellow artists kind of struggling and, you know, being in that kind of vibe, as opposed to, I didn't see a lot of buying, let's put it that way. There wasn't a lot of buying going on there. And the only reason, ultimately, you do something like this is so people will come into your art studio and buy stuff. Otherwise, why bother?
Some people like to do art for the creative
aspect
of it.
But if they're a full-time artist, they want to get paid.
Well, yes.
That's the deal.
Yes.
And so you got a bunch of people looky-looing, and they're not in the mood to buy. Well, they're not going to buy. You know, we remember that one guy, I forget the guy who was dating the real estate guy who was a customer. He had great stuff. I mean, I thought it was really good stuff. And nobody was buying anything.
That's because, they weren't drawing the right crowd. He had the right art.
Right. It was very good stuff. It wasn't cheap, but it was good. But anyways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your 25-year-old could not have afforded his painting, likely.
Interesting, though, when I read the article about this in the review journal, it's funny. You read the review journal online, and you want to find snarky people just looking to bitch. Go read any article.
Was it in their comments?
Yeah. Go read any comments on the review journal, and you're always going to find people complaining.
What was their concern?
That it was going to become too corporate.
Well, geez, if you're going to...
That's the point.
But it's Zappos, which is like one of the probably hippest, coolest, down-to-earth companies in the country.
But even if it's not, that's the point, kids. You want it to be corporate. You want to draw other artists in. You want to draw people from around the valley. That's the point. So it'll probably be hip because it's Zappos. Everybody's loving them right now, and I'll assume they're going to be hip. But
they know how to market. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Is they know how to market products.
Exactly.
They're going to know how to market this show.
And they said that, and that's exactly what needs to be done.
Launching?
I don't know. I don't remember. But that's part of the challenge that they're facing is that they have to market. They have to solve the parking problem. They got to bring in a wider variety of content for people to buy. This is what needs to happen at First Friday for it to be able to compete with the kinds of festivals, art festivals, the monthly art festivals, because this happens in other cities. And so people will actually buy stuff.
You know what else? They have the connections in government to local, city, county government to make things happen around zoning and things like that, that I think is important.
Yeah, so we wish those guys well. We hope it goes
I'm totally behind it.
I hope it goes really well.
Well, because I think we'd really enjoy that. And I'm excited because it feels like culture is coming, We got the Smith's Performing Arts Center we've talked about. Yeah, it'd be great. Maybe it'll be a weekend thing during the day when they can have.
Well, it'll probably still be the First Friday, which I think is. I like that idea. I like the First Friday.
Well, I do, but if it's on a weekend, if you're gonna have people come all the way to town from out of town, if you had a longer time thing, it makes it more worth their effort to come if they have a weekend do in the Bay Area.
Right. I agree. We'll see what they do. I think it'll be a good idea. Can't be any worse. Also going on here in the city, for those of us who live here, for a while, we've been talking about foreclosures for a while. I just saw something that I thought was interesting for people considering moving here. Now, for a while, the foreclosure thing kind of cooled off a little bit, primarily because the banks were told to cool off a little bit because they had some problems with what was called robo-signing and things of that nature. So they cooled off for a while, but they are done cooling off. In August, our lenders filed notice on mortgage default for 5,279 Clark County homes here, which is an increase of nearly 46%, which is a lot.
What do you think happened?
Well, the banks were told to stop because a lot of what they did was illegal or bad or whatever.
But why were the floodgates open like this?
Because that moratorium has been opened up. They're now back to the point where we've taken care of the robo signing stuff. We're not blindly foreclosing on people, but there's still people who are not paying for their houses. We're going to go get them. So 5,200 plus. 46%, huge. And that's the initial steps in a foreclosure is saying, we're going to come and get you. And it's huge. And it's interesting for those of you who don't know, I'm telling you, and what are you saying here? Ray is saying that they were holding to see if the prices would jump. Now, apparently it's not. Yeah, clearly not. Most people here in Las Vegas believe we're still going to be, that we haven't hit the bottom yet. As a matter of fact, Bridget on her show, Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and I'm sure she'll talk about this tomorrow. She believes that the end is not near yet. We've still got farther to go before the bottom hits. She thinks it might not be until next summer.
Wow.
And And this is indicative of that kind of prediction. I think she might be right. Nevada continues to be the most foreclosed upon state in the United States. Where,
that's
get
amazing.
This, one in every 118 homes has received a foreclosure. So our neighborhood has, what is it, 700? That's not right. 300. Is that right?
175?
175, right. I wasn't even close. I wasn't even kind of close. So one in every 118, though, so 175, so that's, you know, two or so houses here are being foreclosed. Doesn't sound terrible that way, but it's a lot. And I think it used to be worse, and it continues to be that way. So
that's a big number.
But here's the good news about that. The good news, and by the way, this surge in foreclosures is attributed to Bank of America. Which homes?
Well, they're trying to collect money because they're also laying off 30,000 people.
Right, and they're the ones who did all the robo signing, and they're, you know, being sued by everybody and their mom, and it's not pretty. So they're coming after people pretty aggressive. Now, Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank and J.P. Morgan and Citibank are all in those issues as well. But they're the guys who are really causing the majority of this.
Well, and
interesting,
they're in big
question.
Trouble. I mean, they're in a lot of trouble financially, or they wouldn't be laying off 30,000 people.
Yeah, it's not good. The here's an interesting question. What's the average time to foreclose? It reached a record in August. In other words, how many days does it take to foreclose on a house on average, if you were to guess?
I think I'll try some RA while you're thinking.
I'm going to say 390.
390 days.
From the day time. When you default on your first rent mortgage.
Did you see what I just did there?
Yep.
Poured that all over me.
And there is the Stanley Steamer. Here, have mine.
That didn't go nearly as well as I would like. Oh, God. That's good. It smells like beer in here. Ray's like, that was alcohol abuse. You actually saw me do that. Okay. All right. So, Melissa, your guess is 390?
From the start of the defaulting.
Time to foreclose. So, boop.
From the time of defaulting on the payment, first payment.
I'm going to assume.
390.
All right. Ray's got a guess in at 180. Let's see. Maya is also at 180, although she called it 106 or 6 months, which is a different way of saying 180. Any more guesses here? It's fascinating. I was surprised by this number. That should give you a little hint. Shannon says it's lower, probably 150 days. The answer after this break. No, 373 days in August.
I was close.
So over a year. It takes more than a year to foreclose. Now, I know some people. Maya says the people across the street lived there for 2 years. I know somebody, a friend of mine, who's been in his house for 3 years. Since they've been foreclosure, he's gone to arbitration and a couple times. It's just been nuts. 3 years. Now, he lives in a very, very expensive home. And I think that has something to do with it because, as I understand it, the minute the bank takes the home, it immediately negatively impacts their books. Or if it's still not foreclosed on, it's not impacting their.
Is he trying to sell it?
I don't know what he's doing. I mean, what he's doing is he's living rent-free for the last 3 years is what he's doing. And he's in no hurry. He's like, short sale? Foreclose me.
I knew somebody who said that he was told, don't pay it, but take that money and put it away in the bank.
That's what he's doing.
So he said, make the amount of money that you would have paid, keep it and put it in the bank,
right?
Because he thought he might be moving for another job. So for a year, he took that money. He didn't pay his mortgage. He put it in the bank.
Right.
And the person who gave him this advice said, then if they start to foreclose, you have the money to pay it all your arrears.
Right.
So you won't lose your home.
All right.
But if you get another job and you're leaving out of state, then the bank might work with you more to do a short sale.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what happened.
Really? I think there's a lot of people.
Well, that's what I was told happened, I should say.
I think a lot of people are playing that. And, you know, he's been doing it for, like I said, 3 years. He's been not paying rent. Now, this was a million-dollar-plus house.
Maybe he can't, you know, maybe he's not working and can't afford it.
Well,
which
that's
I
not
think,
it. But the bank can still come in and say, I don't care. You're out.
But what I'm saying is he's not doing it just to be sneaky. He really can't afford it.
Well, but there's no question. But it doesn't matter. He.
No, I know. He's not being kicked out.
The bank could have come in and said, tick-tock, tick-tock, you're out.
Yeah.
Whether you can play it or you're playing us or you're we don't care. You're out. And they haven't done it for 3 years. And the reason, we believe, is because the house is too expensive. It was $1 million house. And they don't want that on their books. So, interesting. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If to this day, we love being in Las Vegas. You know, our house is not worth what it was. It's dropped quite a bit in value. I think we're underwater. Not sure. It's close either way. But if I were outside looking in, man, I'd be buying a house here in New York City.
I know. The problem is people are paying cash.
Well, for some houses they are, and for all condos. If you're going to buy a condo, if it's not a cash deal, you are simply not going to get financing. And we've heard that on Bridget's show. So if you're thinking about a condo, you better have the money. Otherwise, don't even bother.
The thing that's sad about that is that's where a lot of first-time buyers buy. You know, people just graduating and getting married, kind of, you know, just starting out. A lot of times they buy those as their first home.
Yeah, but you know what? You can buy a condo here for $50,000. That's a down payment for – that used to be a down payment for a lot of houses.
But for a lot of people, that would be about right for their first house here. You know what I mean? And and they just got out of school. Maybe they've worked for 2 years. They're getting married. Maybe they might have
– Yeah, but back when we moved here, there was no such thing as a $50,000 condo that you wouldn't want to live in and not carry a gun.
The thing that's sad is that if people are paying cash for that, there's a whole segment.
Right, but that's only a condo. That's only a condo. But you can go out and buy a house for $125,000.
Yeah, but even those
are the median price here was $138,000. When we did a whole series of shows on that on Getting Real, it was really fascinating that for $135,000, I think it was $135,138, here's what you can buy in the North area, the Northeast, Summerlin, Henderson, Southeast. Here's what $135,000 buys you. It's really pretty interesting to see a pretty significant difference of that value. But so, look, you can buy a house here for half price. Houses here are half price. If you want to move here and you're thinking, well, I'm going to wait till the bottom, well, it might be next summer. Might be.
Yeah, but you're still going to get a good deal, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is an amazing deal right here. And more importantly, you have to have a job. So if you don't have a job, I wouldn't come. Or if you're able to do your own thing like we did when we first moved here, and that I continue to do, then you're okay. Yeah, Ray's saying he bought $127,000. Now, he lives in Illinois. $127,000 for $112,000. You know, Maya's saying that her house, she lives in Las Vegas. Her house was listed for $215,000. They bought it for $178,000. Now it's worth $125,000. So, yeah, I mean, it's a rough time to be buying houses. It's a rough time to be owning houses. You know, our grand plan was 10 years and out. That $270,000 was here in Vegas. Oh, okay. That's right. Ray owns a house here in Vegas. So the house was $270,000, and he paid $112,000 for it. This is in Las Vegas. So that's less than half price he bought his house here. So, if you got the time and the patience to buy a house and you can do it, because you can get a job here, or you're retiring here.
Call Bridget.
Call Bridget and get yourself a house because, I mean, some of the houses, like in our neighborhood, we've seen houses for, you know, below $100,000. I mean, below $200,000 that are nice houses.
Yep.
I mean, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,200 square foot for $195,000. You know, come on. So it's a come and come. Another thing I saw in the mail today that I thought was pretty cool, and you know, I've been saying they should be doing this kind of thing for a long time. We saw this in the mail today. This is from the good folks at Phantom, and if you live in here in Las Vegas, they're doing a 2-for-1 for locals. I think they should have been doing this kind of thing since 2005. Back in 2005, when they moved here, they wouldn't give locals anything for a discount. Either would Cirque or pretty much any A-list show. They wouldn't even think about it, and now they're all doing it. And this is the right thing to do. They should have been doing this for the whole time. Remember, folks, there's 1.8 million people living here, and we're here, and it's not that hard to drive to the Strip. It's 13 miles. You should be doing this stuff all the time. So kudos to the guys over at Phantom. I think they should even do a better deal than 2-for-1, personally. But this is smart, folks. Do this. Now, I want to thank somebody for giving me a chocolate lobster. No, that's not something that you get in the military. It's not some sort of sexual play thing.
Yeah, I didn't provide a chocolate lobster.
No, I bet you we could come up with a sexual term for a chocolate lobster.
Well, let's do that later.
Yeah, let's do that later. I bet you Ray could come up with something. Look at that.
Well, he's
already
a dirty bird.
Already it's happening. You people are
Our chat room is dirty. They're naughty.
So Mark, who's been a long time a listener of ours, he moved from Maine, all the way from Maine, came all the way to Las Vegas. Clearly, I believe he said, because of our show.
Well, why not? Isn't that what everybody does?
Once again, the Chamber of Commerce should be tick, 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 paying attention to us because we're bringing people here while most people are trying to get the hell out. Anyways, he drove all the way across country. Real nice guy. He's at the he was at the meetup. I'll show you a picture of him. And he came to the studio yesterday to watch Pub Crawl. And like all very polite people who come to the studio, he came bearing gifts.
Oh, God.
And it was nice. He brought
you a chocolate lobster.
Well, he brought us a couple of things. He brought Dave and Alicia some booze. I think I've got to change the vibe of what I want. I would like to get hard liquor now. I got tons of wine. And I said that we like wine. You like wine. I like wine. I got a ton of wine now because everybody likes you more than me. So I've got some nice wine at the studio. We've got actually two bottles of wine people have brought in. So he brought me a nice bottle of wine, brought him that, was it Maker's? The one that has
the red?
The wax.
Yeah, port.
So you got a nice bottle of that. Wow. He said he brought me a second bottle of wine that broke on the trip all the way from Maine to Las Vegas. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool that you would do that. And then he brought us both this candy, this chocolate that was in the shape of a lobster. I mean, it was this big.
That's awesome.
A lobster and a piece of corn. And it was all chocolate. The corn was white chocolate. The lobster was dark chocolate.
Now, you didn't tell me about the corn.
Yes, yeah, so I did keep a little surprises. And it had like a cup of butter, but that butter was chocolate. Vanilla, you know, white chocolate.
Wait a minute. Was the corn and the lobster packaged together?
Mm-hmm. It looked like a lobster dinner. And it had like a lobster bib. It's really cool. So, Mark, thank you very much for bringing that out. We thought that was really fun. And so, you know.
That was really sweet.
Now, of course, Jacob and I are on this torturous path to great health. And
I know you must secretly love
James
it.
Is a good man. I'll talk about James in a second. But so, you know, we saw the 200 pounds of lobster chocolate. And we're like, well, that's not good for us. And then we both ate the entire corn.
I didn't know you liked white chocolate.
Love white chocolate.
I did not. Really?
Sure.
I did not know that.
Yes, it was on one plate. Maya, it looked like a lobster dinner. Here you go. Here's your lobster dinner, and here's your bib.
That is so cute.
It was really, really cool. He's a super nice guy. He's one of the good guys, if you know what I'm saying. I just remembered. It's time for... Sometimes TriCasters suck.
Did you mean to do that?
No. Now my TriCaster is like, I think you're gonna have this graphic up. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Aren't we going to discuss the meetup?
I was going to discuss let's see if we can get that. Now it's time for listener email. Scott reads the boys and Melissa reads
the... How come we're not talking about the meetup?
We're going to after this thing.
Okay.
All right, so we get an email. We got an email, and as always, yes, Maya, I know it's the wrong one. She's like my freaking, the being conscious. Oh, Scott, you screwed that up again, by the way. Oh, thanks, Maya. Oh, by the way, you screwed that up again. Thank you, Maya. It's good. You're a sweet kid. Sweet. Real, real good, nice girl. Yeah, so this is the part of the show where if Maya writes in, we don't read her stuff anymore. And but if a man call our emails, then she's a good... We'll see a picture of Maya in a moment here. So if you're a guy, I read it. If you're a woman, Melissa reads it.
It must be a guy because I don't see it printed out.
Correct. It's a guy. And this is from Brian. And Brian writes... Subject matter, just saying hi.
Have we met Brian or spoken to Brian?
Well, his name seems familiar, but no.
Huh? Oh, someone new. I like that.
This is new. This is somebody new. Here's what Brian has to say. Hi, Scott and Melissa. Or Malissa, spelled M-A-L-I-S-S-A. Finally, somebody got my name spelled right, spelled your name wrong, and put me before you. Well, again, Brian, you've already got 1 point for you. 1 point for Brian. I've been watching your podcast since June of this year, so a new viewer, after my wife and I took my son to Vegas for his 21st birthday.
Oh, we had
a great trip.
I bet they did.
So when we got back, I started to think, what would it be like to live there?
It would be like this.
Except you probably don't get those.
Moonshine beer.
I don't know where you can go. I went on the internet and found your show and have watched it ever since.
Konnichiwa.
You're a good man. Here on the East Coast, they're from Pennsylvania, we have snow and flooding and all sorts of nasty things. Whoa, that makes me want to move. I keep a close eye on the housing market, which we just spoke about, out there, and could buy a house for about half the price of my house here. Such great deals, but so many questions. You know, when we moved here, we've talked about this before, the house that we live in is 60% larger and 40% of the cost of the house we had in California. So I feel you, brother. I feel you. My wife and I are in our early 50s and just started to think about where we wanted to end for our golden years. I imagine right now Brian's getting a lot of AARP literature.
Based on your personal experience.
My personal experience. And you can't get away from it. If you move here, Brian, by the way, they're going to find you because they're part of the government. I think we could find work out there. Oh, there you go. I am in the car business, and my wife has insurance. Now, that could be that he crashes cars, and his wife insures them. A lot of that going on here, by the way.
No one will fit right in.
No one will even know that you're a shyster if that's what you do. Just blat, because we see cars crashing all over the time there. You guys are going to make a lot of money here. I can tell you a place to live. Southern Islands. I don't know. Well enough about us, and back to the show. I love it, and find you and Melissa a lot like my wife and I. Oh, so that you drink a lot and you fight when no one's looking at you. I do have a few tips for you. Oh, really? You too? Nice. Because I don't get enough tips in my current life from people.
Maybe he has some good tips.
Maybe. Of course, I get tips from people like, oh, Maya, who tells me that I'm, I don't know, bad. Okay, here's his tips from 1 to 4. Okay, he's
ready giving
to go.
This some thought. Okay.
You have a better show when you have a cocktail.
That's funny.
I have a better show when I have 2 gallons, these are called growlers, of beer. So my first directive.
Those are half gallons.
Right, but they're called growlers.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because if you drink the whole thing,
you go growl. Growl. You get all kind of like when you hear lightning. All right. I should even let ree. Sounds like I'm a little mini bike.
Where's two?
Two. Number two. When you drink Mike's hard lemonade, you want to ungirly it.
Yeah, it does. I agree. It looks like a sissy drink because that's what I like. And I'm a woman.
Okay, so.
What's he say?
Brian's going to help me unsissy. Myself and I drink a little.
Sometimes
you want a little something tangy.
Brian has given a lot of thought to the important stuff.
Sometimes you want tangy. Marie's telling me
that. Wait a minute.
Marie is telling me she became an AARP member at 28. Really?
Is she thinking of AAA?
Are you thinking of AAA, the car people, or AARP, the people for the rest? All of the employees who are junior members still get my mail regularly. Okay. Ray knows that I am a delicate flower and that I should be allowed to drink Mike's hard lemonade. Thank you, Ray. That's why you're going to heaven.
Okay, right. Tell me what he says,
take it, put it in a pint glass, put the Mike's hard lemonade in a pint glass, makes it taste better. Okay, now add vodka, lots of vodka. That's it?
I like him.
That's the tip?
Yeah, that's smart.
Add booze, lots of white booze. My wife and I call it kicking it up. Great by the pool.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Great by the pool or when you are out and don't want another Sailor Jerry issue.
Tomahawk said no.
You know, I'm really a little sad. Let me just say I'm a little sad about the Sailor Jerry thing.
I'm glad this guy joined and is watching our show.
You know, he's funny. Yeah, he is good. He's an okay guy. He's a good sort.
Sailor Jerry issue incident.
For those of you who don't know, I mean, I am a big proponent of Sailor Jerry. It's very good tasting rum, spice rum. It's smooth. It's flavorful. I like
it. It kicks you on the butt.
But it's 100 proof, and most rum is not 100 proof. And I had a little duke out with it a couple weekends ago, and Sailor won.
It won.
It won in a big way. So I have literally stopped drinking Sailor Jerry just because I'm a baby and I'm afraid of it. Okay, more vodka, more bang, less vodka, less bang.
Kicking it up.
Mike's also has a governor in it. Drink too many gives you indigestion and makes you stop. You don't really know me, do you?
God, that's so funny.
Because once I get going, I will show you now. This is how you pour it.
Wasn't it Mike's Hard Lemonade when we were at my friend Darcy's house and we were trying to see, there was, I don't know, a 12-pack or something. We said, we have to drink all of it.
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like
I think it was my idea. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'd like to blame it on Darcy.
Let's do it. She's not watching.
But the next day, she and I both were really sick, so I think he's correct.
Okay. Item number 3. When in a strange place, don't F with the wildlife. I have been there about the t-shirt. Clearly, he's talking about our last episode 123.
So funny.
Or, yeah, I think it was 123, where we got into a staring contest with a steer, free-range steer. Over at the it's already 56 minutes. We haven't even got to the meetup yet.
Halipa.
Good Lord. Got it. Number 4. Don't let your wife and son jump off the stratosphere and make you look like an old fart because you did not do it. Get that, because I ain't ever jumping off that thing. That's insane. That's just some useful hits. I would like to contact you later. Maybe you could answer some of my questions about moving out there. Your show has a lot of answers, but I have a few more questions. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to your show. Thanks. And that is dun, 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 Brian. Just wanted to see if this thing would work. Nice. Way to go, Brian.
He needs to come to the studio, eh?
Oh, absolutely. If you're ever in town, brother, you just hit me up and we'll put you in the old studio Ruski, right? And then you know what I'm saying. All right, good. All right, before we take a break, I just want to say a big shout out to the worst man in the world. Okay, actually, no. I think it actually does hurt his feelings when I say that, so I'm going to stop doing it.
I know. Don't be so mean to
him.
He's wonderful.
James, our guy at Studio 222. I'm just putting him up there because he's a good guy and he works hard and he's putting up with my crap. So,
and he's doing good things for you.
And more importantly, he's offering a deal to Vegas Video Network folks. So if you guys want to check him out, normally he charges $85 an hour. He's going to do a free fitness assessment, and then it's $65 for a 45-minute workout.
Actually, I'm really glad for him.
He will work you out too, brother. I can promise you.
You need to work your heart, you know? You got to get going.
Yeah.
We're not getting younger, God knows. You're getting AARP mail.
I'm going to skip the our normal ad. I'm just going to get into it. How about that?
You're not even going to have a comment to my AARP comment?
No, because you're hurtful. Don't make fun of my age.
Are you just rolling on and ignoring that I'm talking to you?
I heard it. You said an AARP thing, and it makes me sad. It makes me a little cratty. Cratty? Cry. All right. Anyways, the big news, of course, here at the Vegas Video Network and here at the Living in Las Vegas is what we had the big meetup, the big, big, giant, super successful meetup happened last Friday.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. This was the genesis of the meetup was the people of the good chat, except for Maya. She had nothing to do with it.
give her a little dick. Jackie's the one that originally started talking about
Jackie
it.
And Ted and Maya were kind of the genesis, the trio genesis, if you will, that got this thing started. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And it was a pretty neat thing that we all saw. And we took a bunch of pictures. Actually, the gentleman in the yellow bottom shirt took all the pictures you're about to see. You've heard us talk about him before, and that is Ira. And Ira is our official photographer for this particular show. And we're going to kind of go through what happened here. We had a good time. First of all, I was very happy that the good people at the Rum Bar were nice enough to put our banner up on the back bar, which I thought was pretty groovy. By the way, if you're not familiar with the Rum Bar, that's this place here. And it's on the outside of the Mirage. You know, the Mirage is on the west side of the strip. There's a south part of the Mirage and a north part of the Mirage, and it's at the north part of the Mirage. You can walk to it from the street, from the strip. There's a little walkway, and just as you walk into the Mirage, there is...
It's on the side closest to Caesars. La Rumba.
Yeah, it's really cool. So lots of people came around. We had a really good time. You know, we were estimating 40, and we hit that number. Some people weren't able to make it, but what was really cool about the folks here... Oh, I'll talk about them in a second. What was really cool about the folks at Rum Bar, and they did a fantastic job, thanks to Michael Frey and all of his people there. Just fantastic
job. It was very well organized.
Yeah, I mean, we got wristbands and our drink tickets, and it was just great. Had a list. It was good. But what was neat, and I was worried they might not do this, and I would have understood if they didn't, but because they paid for the first drink for everybody. They covered the cost for promotional consideration. And so what I noticed is probably 3/4 of the way through the night, I went and they had highlighted all the people who had showed up, but there's a whole bunch of people who had plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one, plus two, plus one, plus one. So there are people who RSVP'd but didn't tell us they were going to bring somebody. But they didn't do anything about it. They just gave them the plus one a wristband.
A ticket too?
And they gave plus one a ticket.
I didn't know that. That's super cool of them.
It was really cool. So we had 40 people on the list. I don't know, about 10 of those people didn't show, but 40 people showed up anyways because of the plus ones, plus two. So we had a really nice crowd.
And went at different times of the night. I mean, we were there until midnight.
Yeah. And
I absolutely had to leave. Because I had a flight the next day.
So I want to kind of give some names next to people. So we've talked to a whole bunch of people on the show the last 6 years just to kind of match names. Now, a lot of you will recognize there's Al Mancini.
Awesome.
He's the host of Top
and
of the Food Chain.
And his
lovely wife, Sue. And they came early, stayed late. kind of late. Not as late as me. But they did stay pretty late and had a good time. And this is Judy Phelps, a really nice gal. Super sweet.
It was fun meeting Judy.
Yeah, she's nice. That's her husband. I'm afraid I forget his name.
I didn't get to talk to him, and I wish I had. When they were there, there were a lot of people coming and going.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to talk to her as much as I wish because she's a big listener. And so that kind of bums me out.
Interesting that.
Hi, Judy.
Yeah, he started listening to the show first. They live somewhere else. Moved here after listening to our show. Hello, Chamber of Commerce. And but now she's the one that listens to it more than he does, which means he's dead to me. But he was a real nice guy. You know how long those two have been married?
No.
Over 20 years.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they were real super nice.
That's a nice picture of me. Not really. Not sure why I kept that. As the day went, we started to get a little bit busier and busier here. You know, we basically blocked off the whole side of the place. In essence, it was all kind of ours. Now, there's Doug and there's August, some recent listeners of ours, really nice people. They've been in the studio a few times, really big fans of what we're doing, and super nice guy. Came up with a cool thing you probably saw on the Facebook where people were taking pictures of a drink along with a card, a Vegas Video Network card. That was his idea.
Oh, that was a cute idea.
There's Scotty Pritchard, who's the host of Let's Bet, and his friend Jeanette. And he's always, it's funny, everybody said, I didn't realize that guy was that tall. Well, he's like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he's super
he's
tall.
He's huge.
Yeah.
Super nice guy, you know, smiley, very pleasant. Everybody loves him. As the night went on, we began just kind of taking over that whole corner over of that side of the bar.
There's Mark.
Yeah, there's Mark right there, the guy who gave us the chocolate lobster. He's in the blue off to the right side.
Sally down
going,
there.
Ooh, it kind of looks like. There's Maya. And she's the one on the right. You can just look at her eyes and you can tell she's trouble. And you'd be right. There she is. And that's over. That's Marie. That's Ira's lovely wife. And you can see that they're having
a
good time.
It's really a great picture of both of them. And I didn't get to talk to... Maya very much because she had to leave, and then I didn't get to talk to Marie very much just because it was so crazy.
Yeah, what's cool about this whole meetup thing is everybody just kind of just mixes immediately, as you'll see a little bit later. Everybody's real comfortable about talking to everybody else. So, you know, my job was kind of flutter around and just talk to everybody, make sure everybody's having a good time.
Too. I hardly even spoke to you.
Right. I mean, exactly. And, but everybody was just having a good time. Nobody seemed to be kind of isolated. They were all just really into it. I think You know, there's...
We have nice listeners.
It was interesting. I was watching this thing called Disrupt by TechCrunch a couple days ago. And on it was, first of all, Ashton Kutcher was on because he's kind of a big... what's he do? He puts a lot of money into high-tech companies. He's a lot smarter than I thought he was. I mean, really pretty articulate guy. But afterwards, they had Cook, the guy who runs Intuit, and a bunch of other guys talking about lean startups and what's really important about, you know, what you should be measuring. And one of the guys said, you know, TechCrunch actually makes it bad that they're talking about, I've got 10 million users and, you know, customers, but you don't know if it's 10 million people who logged on once and never came back, or if it's one guy doing it 10 million times. Cook guy goes, we should be measuring passion. You know, are your viewers, whatever the number, or are your customers, whatever the number, passionate? And we have a passionate group of people. You know, these people knew each other before they got there.
I feel like we have a passionate group of people.
Yeah, we have a passionate group of people. You know, many of these people recognize their names before they're there. They come and check all of our shows out.
Yeah, they know each other.
We are very appreciative of that passion. Mm-hmm. With our group, you know, and we've got good numbers as well, but the passion is pretty cool. If you look at the guy who looks like a smiley guy in the black shirt, that is, in fact, you wouldn't know it to look at him, but that is James
and Jacob and Sally.
Yes, that's James. That's the one who makes me cry. Right, and there's Jacob and Jacob's wife Sally. That's the back, and there's Melissa having a good time. Why she'd be having a good time talking to him is beyond me.
I like
a closer picture of James. He's always a very laughy guy, yeah. Which is what makes his torture tolerable. There, of course, are the Ivies, David
Looking
and Alicia.
Hot. Look at those two.
And there's so that's a big hand holding a beer. That would be Jacob's.
Jacob.
Yes, it would be. Now, as the night continued on, you got more and more people. Basically, the corner now is starting to fill out, and we're spilling into the rest of the location there. It was a lot of fun. More of that. There's Doug again in August, and Dave, Alicia, that's Sue. There's your friend Tracy and...
Jason? Is that Jason?
Yeah, her boyfriend. You can kind of see...
I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah. There's a nice picture of Dave and Alicia and Bridget from both Pub Crawl and Getting Real. Right by the Vegas Video Network logo banner. That was pretty groovy, I thought. There's me... who could stand to lose a few pounds. And there's Christina and her husband, whose name I forget, but they've been in the studio a few times. Super nice gal and a really nice guy as well. And they're one of those couples. They're kind of like the Ivies. They get out every night and kind of just be in Vegas, which is pretty groovy. There's Shannon. That's Neon Vegas here on the strip. Check that out. And there's Dave pointing. Saying, there's Scott, or there's Ira taking a picture of Shannon. Shannon had a very good night, I would argue, as the night went on. This is Sally, who's Jacob's wife, and I believe she's clinically insane.
She's been silly.
Yeah, that's my ass, in case you're wondering. That's
Can you say the A word?
Sally looking at my ass. Yeah, I'm thinking I can. This is a nice picture. There's Marie. That's, again, Ira's wife. And there's our friend Cheryl. And there's Sally not looking at my ass. It's a lovely picture there. Of course, Cheryl. We had a very good time at the M Resort Bar, I think a couple, 3-4 weeks ago. God bless her soul for that.
She's a dancing queen.
More people. There's Marie.
Oh, there's Marie and our friend Jan.
Marie, who's on the chat right now. There's Sally again. Our friend Jan is on the far right there.
And there's Jason's cousin Max.
Max and a little bit of Melissa and Cheryl. All kinds of people. Again, these people. You know, many of these people didn't know each other until they showed up here. You know, another shot of. Many of Melissa's friends over there on the side there, and my friends as well. And it's you can still James right now is trying to pitch somebody to be a workout person. I'm sure of that. This is a gal who is somebody who we're working with on some other video production stuff. It was a 2+. She was a +2. That's her name's Diana, and she brought two folks. The gal on the right actually does all the M Life videos for MGM. She's a producer for all that.
That's cool.
Isn't that neat? I thought so too.
And that guy does some video production work too.
Yeah. There's Shannon looking pensively at the wonderful and always fun Mancini's as they're hitting a shot of, what was that, Jaeger?
Is that Jaeger?
Yeah, probably Jaeger. Another look at the people are still kind of filling into the other areas. Very nice. Again, a casual look of people just chilling
out.
Oh,
look, there's Terry from work talking to Tracy and James.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. You had a couple of work people show up, didn't you? More of that. There's Melissa. And now, Melissa, can you lean in and look at that picture? I got to get approval before I show that. You all right with that?
Yeah.
All right. See? Now, it kind of makes you curious on what could it be. Well, after a while, Melissa had a couple drinks, and so she started to pole dance, which is what you want from your wife.
Let me see.
In front of 40 people. But is that the cutest pole dancer you've ever seen? I mean, how many pole dancers carry their purse with them while they're preparing?
Well, you have to have somewhere to put your dollars.
Right. And another picture, a little bit more animated. There she is. Happy. You know, when you're looking for a happy pole dancing wife, this is what you're looking for. And I thought that was a pretty cute picture.
I think those
are pretty cute. I do, too. Those were a lot of fun. More conversation. A lot of two-on-two. You can see right there. Those are two-on-two conversations. People just kind of having a good time
and
digging it. More. There's Mark talking to Jacob and Sally talking to Sue. And, you know, it's really cool. There's the lovely Ivy couple. I think Alicia was trying to get lucky with David. I imagine she'll do okay there. Pretty sure she will. She's pretty lucky there in that way.
The odds are good.
Another good shot of all the crowd. There's Dave McKee and his wife. He's the one sitting down there. He writes Stiffs and George's, probably the most insightful blog about the casino business there is. And he's down there off to the right side.
I didn't get to meet them, I don't think. I can't see the picture.
Yeah, and this is my wife. Just she shouldn't be let out after a certain amount of time. I'm not sure what was going on there, quite frankly.
I didn't even have that much to drink either.
Now, you know, here we are. It's daytime. The next picture, it's nighttime. So it was really interesting because what they said to us, you know, I talked to a couple of rum bar people, and they're like, you know, we have these kind of meetups here often.
Really?
And you could tell because they were prepared for it. They had their wristbands. So you could tell that they do that kind of thing. But what's interesting is most times when somebody says, like we did, the time is going to be from 4 to 7, it's from 4 to 7. 4 o'clock, they start showing up. 7 o'clock, everybody's gone.
They're like, are these people leaving?
No, it's just the opposite. He goes, you guys were awesome. You guys were cool. You guys were there way past that, having a good time. You're all very nice. I'm like, that's right.
Maybe we'll be back, Rumbar.
Well, you can count on it. They were a little bit of awesome.
Well, we know that
sauce.
You and I will be there, right?
This is later in the evening. You can see that we're having a bit more fun. There's Jacob.
That's
and me
a great picture of Jacob.
Yeah,
look at
it's
him.
Good. And if you look over my left shoulder, you'll see Amber over there. I wonder if that will come back in a little bit later.
Jacob and I were going to switch shirts.
Oh, really? I thought this was kind of a nice picture of Jacob and I. You'll notice that we're both wearing jeans and the same Vegas Video Network shirt.
I love that picture. You need to blow that up and put it in the office.
Problem is, it's slightly blurry.
You know, you could give that to Jacob for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he wants for Christmas.
In a nice frame to put by his bedside.
Paying me some more. Usually every time that every time Alicia and Melissa get together, they always pose one time. It's kind of a tradition.
Oh, God.
Here's that pose.
One more time. It's hard standing next to that woman, let
Here's
me tell
that
you.
Pose. That happens every single time they get together. You get a couple of drinks in them. By the way, I was very proud of myself. I did the correct drink, soda, drink, soda. So I completely maintained.
And you felt good the next day,
so
right?
Great, yeah. It was a completely different thing. Here's a real nice, cute picture of all the ladies of the Vegas Video Network environment. There's
Melissa.
But you
know what's a bummer? I haven't seen any pictures of Jackie. She wasn't there very long.
There was one picture of her, and she was off to the side. We looked that up when she was on the show on Tuesday when we were just kind of.
I think it was hot. It was pretty hot out there, you know.
Yeah, they had Mistress on. It wasn't terrible. And our final shot. Three amigos. This is your friends Jacob.
That's
and
fabulous.
And myself in the middle, and there's what appears to be a pretty spooked Dave
Probably because she got his arm around.
Well, that usually makes people happy, not spooked. So we were there until about 10 o'clock or so.
10? I didn't.
Or 11, it was 11 o'clock or so. I think it was not quite that late.
Well, it was probably that late when I got to my room. Our room. Which,
right.
By the way, big thanks to Jackie. I haven't been able to talk to her since then because I left town.
Right.
I had to get up at 6:30 the next day after
Brutal.
This.
Right, so so Melissa took off, went to we stayed at Caesar's, a great room.
Thanks to Jackie.
Had two bathrooms.
And a double shower.
I took a bath that morning.
Did you?
Oh yeah, I'm like
a bubble
spa.
Bath.
Yeah, no, not bubbles, but I had the spa thing going. I'm like, okay, Scotty needs a bath. I'm in the bath. Wee.
That's awesome.
But you know, once you know, whatever,
what
11
time did
o'clock.
Did you leave there?
Where?
The hotel.
Oh, probably 10. 11. There's no reason to hang out.
Well, I didn't know what at 3 o'clock I wake up and you must have come in with your ninja shoes on.
I came in at 3.
I didn't.
But you skipped ahead.
I'm just saying, I didn't hear you even come in the room.
Well, I'm quiet.
You startled me.
Oh, sorry.
You could have been like, you know.
I could have been
a serial killer.
Well, there's a picture that Jackie put up on her Facebook page of our room at night. And I'm like, did you come in while we were sleeping?
She had a cute.
Yeah, you're allowed to snore. I said, no, I'm not. I've been told I have a cute snore. So you could not have been coming in while I was in there. Anyway, so we 11 o'clock or so, we decide the party cannot be over. We must continue. And we did. So the first time
I went.
Right. So it was me and Dave and Alicia and Shannon, Neon Vegas, and Amber.
Oh.
Who, let's say they hit it off.
Well, they appeared to be when I left. They were chatting.
Oh, that's right. The Love Network. Soon they're
exciting. You just are making stuff up.
The Love Boat.
I hope Shannon's chewing you out right now.
No, she is not. No. Moya's like, woohoo, Shannon. Shannon's going, ha ha. Anyway, so we head over to Toby Keith's. I love this bar. I'd never been there before. The Ivies are a big fan of it. And as you would expect, we walk into the bar, and the bartender immediately recognizes Dave and Alicia. And I'll tell you what, if you're a single guy, this is the bar to go to. Now, I recognize it's country music. They actually have two kinds of music there, country and Western. And it was...
isn't the country music kind of more rocky?
Well,
there,
they tried to play Led Zeppelin, and it was terrible.
But I'm just saying, in general, their style of music, I felt when I have been there before without you, but I kind of felt like it was more rocky than country for me.
Well, it was you know, the country,
it was that
rocky,
rock
whatever.
Country, whatever you call that more.
And so, please, no pictures from here, Shannon says. I wonder if I might have a few.
I haven't heard any of this because I left town.
You had to go. Anyway, so we
went
there.
Well, yes, but I talk to you every day. I can't believe you didn't give me any of this scoop.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it for the show. That's what I do.
Well, we're going to have a little chat as soon as the show gets done.
Well, I'm going to tell you everything there is to know right here. So we get there, and of course, we walk up to the bar, and Dave and Alicia are recognized by the bartender immediately. And here's what they order. Talked about this yesterday. The most insane drink I've ever seen. It was insane.
What was it?
This is what David ordered. So, you know, you've seen those. It's a guitar-shaped drink, and they basically just pour. I think he's a big tequila Coke guy. I'm not sure what the drink was, but it was, in essence, 9 shots of alcohol and then a little Coke or whatever.
In a guitar?
In a guitar. So he basically had a 9-shot drink.
Why does he do that versus just regular cocktails? Is it cheaper?
It's 9 shots. I don't know what it was.
Well, yeah, but it also probably cost $50. Well,
which would be good for 9 shots. That would normally be $100. So he had that. And I think somebody else in our group, maybe Shannon, did you have that? I'm not sure. I thought we had 2 of those. So he had that, and I actually drank Coke the whole time, Coke and water, because I wanted to maintain. And so we just kind of chatted. It was so funny watching the Ivies. They're like a sun, and people kind of rotate around them. Bars loved them. And then there's a lot of girls who would go up to Dave and kind of flirt with him a little bit, and it was kind of funny. And that was interesting. Now, I'm not going to say who. I remember it was Dave and Alicia and Scott and Shannon and Amber. We all went there. Now, 2 of those people, don't know who they were, kind of separated themselves a little bit, and they kind of just chatted among themselves for hours, just, you know, getting to know each other. The... Oh, no, wait.
So what happened?
Well, I don't know. Well, here's what I do know happened. We were there for long enough that they couldn't finish the drink. And by the way, I was going to say, if you're a guy and you want to go to a bar where you've got a shot, that's the bar to go to.
At getting a woman?
Yeah, it's 50-50, men and women. It's the only bar I've ever seen where they had so many single women running around and single men. Now, we saw a couple times. God, it's so painful to watch this. This happened, actually. Two girls came up, started talking to Dave, kind of. I'm not sure what the... And then there's these two guys right behind him, kind of pressing on him a little bit, trying to, like, hey, yeah, we're still with you. They wanted nothing to do with that. It's so painful to watch for me, but it happened a couple times while I was there. Anyways, so we hung out for a while, watched some, you know, good country and terrible rock, and a lot of chicks, a lot of guys, and Shannon.
Did you dance?
No, I didn't dance. You know, I was just kind of checking the whole thing out and seeing what was going on.
Well, you liked a boogie.
Oh, I'm a boogie knight. And then we decided to take off. Brad was with us as well. I knew there was somebody else who got one of those
Brad,
towels.
He was having so much fun.
And so he joined us as well. And then we all kind of went our separate ways, and I'm like, man, I'm really hungry. I got to go eat. So I went off to KGB's, which is the hamburger place, and was walking around, somehow bumped into Dave and Alicia again on the way out, and they joined me. And so we had dinner, I'm not sure what you'd call that, late-night hamburgers.
Snack?
And it was really fascinating because the woman who served us, I think, might have been the Living Dead. It was weird. And so we had our food, and then we all took off. God bless Alicia. She was tired then. Yesterday she said, I was just really drunk. Well, there you go. Okay. So we don't really know exactly what happened with Shannon and Amber. It's a mystery to us.
I think maybe it's left to be told.
Although I do know that they talked as recent as last Tuesday.
You mean a couple days ago?
Yes.
How do you know that?
That's why that unplugged show.
Well, I'm very interested.
And that's it. So that's what happened. It was a great meetup. Again,
it was
fantastic. Thank everybody for coming out. You guys were awesome.
And I can't say it again. The hotel room
awesome.
Was a big help. And Rum Bar was super cool.
Again,
so
there's Rum
Bar. Thanks a lot, Jackie.
There's Rum Bar right there. Go to that. I mean, as far as I think it's pretty safe for us to say it's our favorite bar. On the strip, probably our favorite bar anywhere.
We like hanging out outside, and
yeah, I do.
And
it's really great.
And we like rum.
Well,
they have all kinds of alcohol there, though, not just rum.
And look at this. Shannon said we had a great time, and I owe you for introducing me.
Konnichiwa.
Again, thank you. He was great. Shannon was really right. It was funny because we were we were at the country bar, and Shannon kept saying, "Let me buy you a shot. Let me buy you a drink. Let me buy you a drink." Normally, I'm into that, baby. Let's go. I was really trying to tread lager or whatever. I was really trying to not get wasted.
After the Sailor Jerry
incident. Such a bad experience. I'm like, I can't not have that happen again.
But see, you had fun. And
had a good time. I got a nice buzz on.
But you weren't.
But maintained. But he was like, come on, Shannon.
We call that buzz crafting.
Let me buy you something. Yeah. And she's like, go ask David. Well, of course, David had the 9-shot drink he couldn't finish. David didn't need another drink. Well, let's ask Brad. I'm not sure what Brad said. So they ended up buying, you know, that the deal where they pour the shots in all the little glasses and they pour them all. It's like an arc all at the same time. Well, they did one of those. And they did like 8 of those or whatever. And so we all had one of those, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, it wasn't too sharp. And to close off, Shannon says that he's going to tell Shannon that we said hi.
No, not Shannon.
I mean, he's going to tell Amber, say hi. Amber's doing something next week I'm going to attend. She runs, I think she's an executive director for Raw Vegas, which is an artist thing, collection, artists, like this kind of artist, music, acting. They're going to do some kind of thing next week, and she invited me to go check it out. I think we're going to do it.
What day is that?
Thursday night, 8:30.
8:30 at night?
Uh-huh. So I think we're going to support her on that. And then I'll get the real scoop. What happened with Shannon of Neon Vegas. That's right. Anyways, thanks everybody for coming out and playing along. Thanks to the live chat. Thanks to those of you who email us at onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. And, of course, you could hit our listener line. This is a line where you call in, you leave a message, and then we play it. You don't call us while we're actually doing the show because we're not going to pick up the phone. It's 866-966-4599. And with that, I think that's the big show, everybody.
It's been a long show.
It has been a longer than it's
been. But enjoyable. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's amazing how much, you know, every show I go, I'm not sure I've got enough things to say. Come to find out, I do.
This is like our longest show ever.
It's 124. All right, we'll see you guys later. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Credits are happening. Yeah, she's pretty hot. We're still working on them. Vegas Video Network. I like it. Da 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 da